This message and other messages, thousands of others, are online at www.lifegatechurch.com. And if you're looking for us on Facebook, it's LifeGate, two words, LifeGate Church on Facebook. Find us and like us. That'll be good. But we're talking about smiling, staying happy, staying positive when. And last time we talked about smile, staying positive when you have no or low self-esteem, self-worth. And I want to talk about that more. How can a person stay positive and receive the blessings of God? Because God can only bless us when we're positive. How can a person receive the blessings of God when they have no or little self-worth? It's like it blocks and stops God's blessings. People feel disqualified in life because they have been treated badly, particularly when they were children. They were abused. They feel they've made such great mistakes that God can't even forgive them. How can people? They feel they have some physical disablement. They have a handicap. They have something physically that hinders them and disqualifies them from doing the things they want to do and experiencing the life they want to have. So what these things do is they attack our self-worth. They attack it and have the potential to stop it and hinder us or stop us even from going to the next level of life and living the life that God has for us. Now, we saw last time that God has already, He's already done that. He's already deposited in every single child of God greatness. There's greatness in you. Now, you may not know that, but it is in you. It's from the foundations of the world. I'll show you. There's greatness in you. And we saw this last time with Gideon. And though Gideon struggled with low self-worth, God called him a mighty man of valor. In other words, there was already valor in him. There was already worth. There was already value. There was already an overcomer in him. There was already this strength that was inside of him. All of this was already deposited within him. He was a mighty man of valor. He was a man of force. He was a man of virtue, and he had pure power within him. But he didn't see that. Now, I really don't like recapping. And so it takes time, number one, for me, and it's boring, number two, for you. But I want to go through this quickly so that we can all get on the same page and build upon what we talked about last time. See, people who struggle with self-worth feel abandoned. They feel abandoned by people, parents, relatives, loved ones, but they also feel abandoned by God. And they feel that when God went out giving out gifts and blessings and talents and abilities, when he did that, they were skipped over. They didn't get theirs. So God must love them more than he loves me, is how they feel. Well, see, it's not an issue of love. God loves you as much as he loves anybody. He's no respecter of persons. The difference is this. The person who is doing what you wish you were doing, the person who is having success in life, has tapped into their valor, has received and is using the gifts and the talents that are within them. You're not. If you're struggling with worth, self-worth, then what you're doing is you're allowing your worth to hinder you there. See, this was what Gideon was struggling with. Gideon had all of this valor, all these gifts and talents and ability within him, but it wasn't being brought out until he stepped out. And God says, if you'll step out, I'll come out. But we've got to step out first. Another thing that people who struggle with self-worth battle and struggle with is they come from dysfunctional homes for the most part. Most people who struggle with low self-worth come from dysfunctional homes. A parent abandoned them, or maybe both. They were abused physically, mentally, sexually, emotionally, spiritually, but they were abused. And this happened. This happened. But this happening causes them now to feel they are worthless. If people that I love and should care about me and take care of me do not care about me and take care of me, then I must have no worth at all. And another thing that people who struggle with low self-worth do, because of the feeling abandoned and the home situation and the abuse and those things going on in their life, they have a tendency to allow these things that have happened to them to attack their worth and stop them from experiencing the greatness that's in them. it becomes an excuse for them not, and we'll see this majorly today, I hope. It becomes an excuse for them not to tap in and become all that they have the potential to have and to rise to the next level of life that God has planned for them. Hopefully we'll see this today even more so. And then another thing is that what God told Gideon to do, he says, go in the strength you have. Go in what the power and the strength that you already have, and then I will go with you. He didn't say, I am with you. He says, go, and then I'll be with you. And so what God wants all of us to do is step out, and then he'll come out, and then he'll show off. What we've got to learn in overcoming low self-worth, the primary thing you've got to do is do something. if you don't step out, you're going to stay and wallow in that low self-worth for the rest of your life. So I want us to see this today. This is major. You've got to move. You've got to step out and go in the strength that you have. This is major. And then we saw that strength isn't external. Strength isn't in muscle mass. Strength isn't external. What changes your life isn't out there. What changes your life is in here. Your success comes from here. The things that will change your life are inward. Philippians 4:13 said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do everything. So what do you want to do? It's not an issue. Do you have the strength to do it? Yes, you have the strength to do it. It's already inside of you. You just got to step out and do it. And then we saw this, is that God never gives us the opportunity to advance and go up in life and go further in life unless he's already given us the ability. Many times you're going to feel that you're over your head. Things are over your head. But you have an opportunity to do it, but I can't do that because it's over my head. No, you wouldn't have the opportunity if you didn't already have the ability. And now I want to hit on that one hard today as well. Now, we're going to see all of these things and more as we look at the life of Moses. And the reason I'm looking at Moses is everybody knows something about Moses. They know he was great. But they didn't understand that to begin with, Moses struggled severely with his low self-worth. He thought he was worthless. So I want to look at him. And the reason is now he overcame it. And I want you to see how and why he overcame low self-worth. Moses was born in a time of oppression. The government oppressed God's people, much like it's happening today. We're getting more and more oppressed. If you haven't noticed that, then you should. And the people of God at that time were in bondage. They were in slavery to Egypt. In Egypt, the male children were aborted by after birth being thrown into the Nile River. That was a decree of the government. And so they had to be thrown into the Nile River. Now, Moses, after his birth, he was hidden by his mother for 3 months. But then she took him, put him in a basket, put him in the Nile River, and pushed him out. What does that do for your self-worth? Pushed him out. Now, what's so interesting here, and I want to go ahead and throw this in. Moses had an older sister and an older brother. The older sister's name is Miriam. Older brother is 3 years older. His name is Aaron. Now, why wasn't Aaron put in a basket and pushed out in the river? Why wasn't Aaron thrown into the Nile? Why me? He's pushed out into the Nile, and he ends up in some reeds, and Pharaoh's daughter finds him. Hopefully you remember the story. And Miriam, older sister, is watching all this happen, runs over to Pharaoh's daughter and says, hey, this is a Hebrew baby, and he's crying. Maybe we can find him a Hebrew woman that will nurse him. So Pharaoh's daughter says, okay. So they take Moses, and give him to actually his mother. And she nurses him until he's beyond the age of nursing. And then his mother now gives him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who names him Moses. Now, I'm just thinking, what is this doing to this person? Does anybody want me? Am I a Hebrew? Am I an Egyptian? My mom pushes me out, and this woman gives me back, and then they give me back. And what's happening here? So he's educated in Egypt, and he's raised and under Pharaoh's daughter's oversight. He's well educated. He becomes a genius. When he's older, the Bible says that he saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite. And it says he looked one way, and then he looked the other way. And with intent, premeditated, he murdered the Egyptian. Moses was an angry man. All the way through, Moses is angry, or God's mad at Moses. And, you know, there's this anger situation that Moses is always experiencing. Well, he thought he had gotten by with this murder, but then he found out that he hadn't, that Pharaoh was looking for him, so he took off. And over a series of events, he ends up at a man named Jethro's house, keeping his sheep, his flock. Here is this extremely, extremely educated man, full of talents and abilities, keeping sheep. He keeps sheep for Jethro 40 years. Never says he had any sheep, just kept Jethro's sheep. And eventually he marries one of Jethro's daughters, and they have a child. And when we look at this, when we look at his naming of this child, we get a great, great insight into low self-worth. So let's read this. Exodus chapter 2, verse 22. Zipporah, that's the wife, gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, this is what Gershom means. Moses said this, I have become an alien in a foreign land. Moses felt abandoned. He didn't fit in Israel. He didn't fit in Egypt. He's an alien in a foreign land. The name of Moses means drawn out of the water. So every time that Moses would meet someone, and they would say, hello, hello, Moses, they would say, hello, you who had to be drawn out of the water. Yeah. And he had to relive his childhood over and over and over again, that nobody wanted him, that his mama pushed him away, and this gave him back to her, and she gave him back to her, and now he had to run. He had to relive all of that over and over and over again. And then the principle that I really want to draw from this is that he named his son Gershom. And every time somebody said, hello, Gershom, what they were saying is, hello, you who are is a foreigner, you are an alien in a foreign land. And what I want you to see is that people who struggle with low self-worth, if not careful and don't overcome it, will pass that low self-worth on to their children. It's vital that we understand the horror of low self-worth. And I'm telling you, and I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. If you come from a functional family and you had a good childhood, you don't realize how blessed you are. You don't have to fight that fight. But people who did, man, this is tough. And it hinders them from going on and being all that they can be. So what Moses did is he stayed there with Jethro, kept the sheep 40 years. One day he's out with the sheep. He sees on Mount Horeb, he sees a bush burning, and the bush just won't stop burning. It's not consumed. It keeps burning and burning and burning. So he says, I'm going to go check this thing out. So he goes and he looks at the thing, gets close to the thing, and the bush starts talking to him. And the bush says, hey, boy, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Well, Moses falls to his face and falls down on his face, and he realizes he's having an encounter with God. Now, this is a Christophany. It's the angel of the Lord that's speaking from the bush, but a Christophany is an appearance like Gideon had. It's an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. Because here it says the angel of the Lord, and then it'll say God, and then it'll say the Lord. And so this is God here in this bush in the form of Christ speaking to Moses. And he says to Moses, he says, I've heard the cry of my people. I've come down to deliver them. You're going to go to Egypt. You're going to go to Pharaoh, and you're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses begins reeling off all of his excuses why he can't do this. Now to Moses, these weren't excuses. These are reasons. But to God, they're excuses. And as we read them today, we see them as excuses. And you have your excuses. When you suffer, especially with low self-worth, but we all, and I'll deal with this in just a second, but when you suffer with low self-worth, to you it's reasons. But to God, it's only excuses. So, Moses begins to reel them off, and I want to read you the first, and I'm going to read you the rest of them here in a minute, but I want to read you just the first thing that Moses says to God. His encounter with God, and God gives him his calling. Here's the first thing Moses says to him in Exodus 3:11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I?" I'm over my head here. Who am I? And every person who suffers with low self-worth suffers with this. They feel worthless. Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? I'm over my head with this. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? But again, ask you, was the ability inside of Moses already? When God gave him the opportunity, was the ability already in there? Yes. And every time you are given an opportunity, realize it may seem like you're over your head, but the ability is already there, or God wouldn't give you the opportunity. So, he's given him this opportunity to do this, right? Now, it's difficult sometimes to see this, especially in people like me. And I'll explain that statement here in just a second, people like me. We come across so confident. We come across sometimes arrogant, cocky, you know. But every person at some level will struggle with self-worth or self-confidence, especially when you feel like you're getting over your head. It happens. But see, what you've got to realize is that unless you already have the ability, God's not going to give you the opportunity. And this is the case where it was with both Gideon and with Moses. They reeled off their reasons why they couldn't do what was necessary for them to go to the next level of living that God had planned for them. And what I want you to really see here, I'm going to read those in just a second, his reasons or his excuses. But what I really want you to see is that here were two great men. Other than Jesus and maybe David, Moses is like the greatest. Gideon was great. But both of these great men were going to allow their excuses to stop them from experiencing their greatness. Their excuses, had they allowed them and not had gone on, then their excuses would have stopped them from experiencing the greatness that was already in them. Moses was educated. Moses was a genius. And nobody was capable of leading God's people like Moses. Nobody. He could do that better than anyone. And what I want you to see is it's that way with you. It's that way with me. It's that way with every child of God. There is something, there is some greatness put in you that you can do better than anybody you know. It's your greatness. God's already put it there. And what he wants you to do is not use excuses and to let that come out. Tap into that so that it won't stop you from experiencing what God has for you at the next level of living. But you can let it stop you. Don't let it. Now, I'm going to read you his excuses. Exodus 3:11, we've already read this one. But I want to just comment on it. He says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? You know, this is over my head. I can't do this. I'm nothing. I'm worthless." Then in verse 13, he says, "Suppose I go and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" In other words, I don't know you, Lord. I don't know who you really are. I've just kind of met you here, you know. And isn't that how a lot of people feel? Well, I want to go and I want God to be with me, but I don't know if I know the Lord that well. Then in chapter 4 and verse 1, it says this: "What if they do not believe me or listen to me? Not only, Lord, do I not know you that well, but they don't know me." And they're not going to listen to me. They don't know me. And then in verse 10 of chapter 4, it says, "Oh, Lord, I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue." Now, I want you to hold on to that one because I'm going to come back to it in a little while. Moses is going to pull on this one again. And I want you to see, what he's saying here is, and I'll talk about it in a moment, he's not saying I stutter. What he's saying is, I'm not a good communicator. I can't communicate. All right, and then in verse 13, he says this, Oh Lord, please send someone else. Please send someone else to do it. What he's saying is, I'm lazy. I don't want to do it. I'm happy right here with Jethro's sheep. Now, isn't that how so many of us get? We just get lazy. We sometimes even know we can do it. We just don't want to do it. And we allow that excuse to stop us from going up to the next level of living that God has for us. Wow. But like Gideon, like you, like me, he didn't take Moses' excuses. See, to Moses, these were reasons, not excuses. But to God, they're just excuses. As we read them, they're just excuses. Because we know that inside of Moses was already the ability. And what you got to know is already inside of you is the ability. Now, it's very interesting how God handles him. He says, he gets mad. God does. And he says, all right. He says, just go. He says, Aaron, your brother, he can talk. He can communicate. He's on his way to meet you. You just go and meet Aaron. And he'll be with you and he'll talk for you if you've got to have somebody to talk for you. And he says, and then I will be with you. And what I'll do is I'll teach you and show you what to do along the way. I was thinking about that. What's he saying to Moses here? What's he saying? He says, he's saying, Moses, go and fake it until you can make it. Now I'm working on this. I'm working on this because I really want to show us something here. Go, fake it till you make it, and get going with it. And then see, when again, somebody like me, you know, I don't appear sometimes to be nervous or, you know, are intimidated. But when I first came into the ministry, I was extremely intimidated. Now, I tried not to show it. I tried to be confident and express confidence, but I had never spoken in public like that before. But it was intimidating. And especially, you know, I'd get around people that had never heard me, weren't my friends, and, you know, I didn't know how they were going to receive me. See, what we all struggle with is the fear of rejection and the fear of failure. And I faced this fear. And you'll never have success unless you face the fear. Anybody who's ever been successful in life has faced the fear of failure and rejection. Anybody. And I face it every day. I've got all these sermons online. People always send me these emails or these. They write things on the page, you know, about how I'm wrong and all this stuff. And, you know, I never respond, but I'm all, you know, it's just interesting how rejected I am sometimes. and it's intimidating to me. And you know, and it's still this way even today, like on big Sundays, like Easter Sundays or something like that. I know there's going to be a big crowd, and a lot of the people I won't know, and you know, and they'll come in here, and you know, and I've got to minister to them, and I want to do well, but there's that fear of failure and that fear of rejection, you know, that I'm going to face, and I've got people that I've got to minister to, who don't go to church, never been to church sometimes. And then I've got other people like you who are always at church. And so I've got to come up with a sermon, a lesson that's going to minister to people who've never been here or never been to church and people who are always at church. And so I want to do well. And so God's given me this opportunity. So I know I have the ability. Or when I have the opportunity to go to another church and speak to their people who I don't know, big crowds of people. I don't know these people. And again, I'm struggling with this thing. You know, this fear of rejection, this fear of failure, this intimidation that you have, this worth. Can I do this? I'm over my head here. And so I'll sit there until it's my time to go to the podium. And then I'll walk up to the podium and I'll put my head up, shoulders back. I'll walk up there with confidence or try to express that I have confidence. I'll raise my head, I'll raise my voice, and I will act as if I know exactly what I'm doing. But I'm telling you, I'm struggling sometimes. I'm nervous sometimes. My mouth is dry. My mouth is smacking. You know, I'm doing, and I'm. But I step out, and I start talking. And then God shows up. And I fake it until I make it. I've always learned God's never let me down. If I'm prepared, if I'm ready, He always shows up no matter how nervous I am, no matter how intimidated I am. And here's what I want to say to you. See, it's a better way of saying that, fake it till you make it, because that sounds like you're deceptive. It's faith it until you make it. Step out in your faith and God will show up. Step out and God will come out. You go and then He will show. And then He will show off. And it's never, ever one time failed me. Every time I step out in faith, and I faith it until I make it, God always shows up. And this is exactly what He told Gideon to do. Gideon, you go in the strength you have, and then I'll be with you. Moses, you go and meet Aaron if you have to have him, and I will teach you. But I want you to go, and I want you to fake it until you make it. I want you to faith it until you make it. And what we've all got to learn, especially when we're struggling with self-worth, is we just got to get going. We can't be lazy. We can't let our excuses stop us. We just got to get started. Got to do something, because you'll never overcome low self-worth if you don't do something and find out what you're really great at. Now, God's never failed me. He wouldn't give me the opportunity if He hadn't already given me the ability. And He does show up. And He shows up with His Spirit, and He shows up with His favor, and He shows up with valor. He does. He always has. And He always will with you as well. But another thing that I saw here as well is that God always gave me an errand, at least one. There's an errand God will give you to face your Pharaoh. No matter what you face in life, if you'll just do what God's asked you to do, He's always going to give you at least one Pharaoh. I've got many. There's many people here, many errands here that go with me to face my Pharaohs. I'm just telling you. And if you struggle with low self-worth, listen, I want you to know there's somebody that God already has planted for you that will go with you to face your fears, to face your Pharaohs. He always shows up like this. God will do it. You step out. You got to go. And if you'll go, you'll overcome your low self-worth. Now, this next verse I'm about to read to you is, I hope, life-changing. I hope that you walk out of here with wondering about this verse. Is the preacher just really off on this, or is he, you know, he's gone crazy? What's you know, let me set it up for you. Moses has gone to Egypt, and he's told the people, and they're all excited about it. Okay, we're going to get delivered. And then he goes to Pharaoh and tells Pharaoh, God said, let my people go, or Aaron does. And Pharaoh says, no way, Jose, you're not going. And he said, in fact, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make it worse on the people. I'm going to take away the straw so that they'll have to make bricks without straw. And it'll be worse on them. And he did. So it seems that he has experienced failure. But let me tell you something. Failure is not failure unless you quit. And then the people are all upset with Moses now because it's worse on them. Now they can't make their quota of bricks because they have no straw to do it. And they've got to go out and get straw. And they're telling Moses, get out of here. It's worse now that you're here. So he experienced that rejection and apparent failure. So God is talking to him again. He says, I want you to go back to Pharaoh again. Let me read it to you now. Exodus 6:28. Now when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you. All right. But Moses said to the Lord, since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me? See, this is my handicap. It disqualifies me. This is my disability. This, I can't do it because of this. And we all have a disability. We all think we have a handicap. There's something. So Moses says, this is mine. And then he goes on. Now, I want you to hear this part. This is what the Lord says. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, Moses, see, now look at this. I have made you like God to Pharaoh. Not I will make you like God. What does he say? I have. Now what I want you to hear me say is I already have. Not just now, Moses. Moses, you were born like God to Pharaoh. Moses, from the foundation of the world, I made you. I made you. I formed you. I made you. Like God to Pharaoh. This is your destiny, Moses. I made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. Now, this is the second time that he has used this term, this disability that he says he has, this inability to speak well. Now, a lot of preachers say that Moses stuttered, but that's not what it means at all. If you look at other translations, you'll see that he was not a great orator. He was not a great communicator. he felt like he couldn't communicate well. That's what it really means. But that doesn't matter. See, here's what matters. Moses, it's not about how well you can speak. Moses, see, it's all about what I have made you. And I have made you like God to Pharaoh. Now, I want to bring this to you because I was wondering how in the world. I want you to see this. I'm asking you this question. What has the Lord made you God over? Somewhere in you, there is greatness. Somewhere in you, you are God over something. You reign on the earth. You are a king, or you are a queen. The book of Revelation is speaking here about Jesus. And it says in Revelation 5:9, reading this from the King James Version because I like how it says it. It says, "And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, by his death, by his blood, he redeemed us out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us." You're made this way. "Hath made us unto our God," what? "Kings and priests." Listen, I want you to see something. You're royalty. And he goes on and he says, "And we shall reign" where? In heaven? Where? On earth. Right now, in this life. Not when you're dead. Right now. You are a king of something. You are a queen of something. Sir, you're a king. Ma'am, you're a queen. You're royalty. You're special. You're a child of God. Inside of you is greatness. Inside of you. Now, does it mean that we walk around like arrogant, but we walk around confident? It doesn't mean that we walk around like we're better than anyone else, but let me tell you this, you're not less than anyone else. You're a king, sir. You're a queen, ma'am. You're a royalty. We need to walk with confidence. We need to live in confidence. We need to go through life with confidence. We need to walk through life with our heads held high. We need to go through life with energy, looking people in the eye when we talk to them. We need to go through life with an authority in our voice, a confidence in our voice. We need to live life with confidence. Now, here's why. We don't just do it just to put on a show. No. Here's why. It's because the way you treat yourself is the way others will treat you. If you treat yourself like you're worthless, if you treat yourself like you're valueless, if you treat yourself like you're inferior, that's what others will treat you. That's how others will treat you. See, you don't realize it. If you walk through life with your head down, you know, and just looking at the ground all the time and speaking real low, and just, you know, don't look people in the eye when you talk. Just, yeah, okay, I'm all right, yeah, okay. They're reading from you that you don't have any confidence, that you feel you're inferior, that you feel you're worthless, and you're projecting to them a subliminal message subconsciously, and you're saying to them, "Don't waste your breath on me. Don't waste your time on me. I'm worthless. You can do something better with your time, better with your breath, than spend it on me. I'm no good." That's what you're telling them. That's what you're saying to them. Now, let me prove it to you what I'm saying. This is true. Just an excerpt from this article. Professor and Abram combined the statistical results of the two studies, and I got you the resource here, reference, and came up with the now famous rule that communication is only 7% verbal. What does that mean? What people read off of you is only 7% what comes out of your mouth. And 93% nonverbal. The nonverbal component was made up of body language, how you present yourself, so forth. That's 55%. And tone of voice, the confidence that you have, 38%. What is this saying? Your voice tone, how you dress, how you hold your head up, how you look people in the eye, how you speak with confidence, how you have energy within your life. You have some boldness about you. You live life with a confidence and a joy and a happiness. That speaks 93% of what people hear and receive from you when you communicate with them. Moses! Moses! It's what I've made you! It's not only 7, Pharaoh's only going to hear 7%. See, what we've got to realize is that when we talk to people, it's 93% of our confidence. When we go through life, we need to live our lives with confidence. Moses, it's not what you say. It's not what you think has disqualified you. It's not your handicap. Moses, it's what I've made you. And I have made you like a god to Pharaoh. Moses gets it. And after this, he changes from the rest on. Moses goes back to Pharaoh again. He walks in this time evidently, with head up, walking in with boldness, shoulders back, walking up confident. God says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no way, Jose. He says, okay, then this is what's going to happen to you. And it did, and it did, and it did, and it did. He stepped out, God showed up. He stepped out, God came out. God not only showed up, but he showed off. It's because he understood who he was made to be. And you know what happened? He delivered the 10 plagues came, and he delivered the people from Egypt and took them, let them out. Now, so interesting here to me is that never again does Moses ever talk about his inability to communicate. Never again. He never one time ever again gave excuses to God. Never, not one time. You know what? It was so interesting to me when I saw this. He totally changed so much. He gained so much confidence that he wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Tell me I can't communicate, Moses would say. I wrote the Pentateuchs. I can communicate. Never again did he give God an excuse. In fact, he got so much confidence that he would argue with God and win. He did. In chapter 33 of Exodus, they made this golden calf. God gets really upset with them. He says, I'm going to wipe them all out, Moses. I'm going to start over with you. Moses says, oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. If you're going to wipe them out, wipe me out too. God says, okay, I won't do it. He says, but I'm not going to go with you. You guys can go on. I'll send the angel, but I'm not going. Moses said, no. If you don't go, I don't go. God says, okay. And Moses said, oh, and by the way, I want to see you. I want to see you. God says, okay. Totally changed from that moment on, from that scripture that I read you on. He never was the same again. He stepped out. He stepped out in understanding who he was. He was made like God to Pharaoh. To what are you made like God over? Amazing. I was thinking about the Queen of England. You know, the Queen of England is not the most beautiful woman in England. And she doesn't seem to be the most personable woman in England. You know, I mean, you know, it's not a person I think I would want to hang around and have fun with. You know, it just she's definitely not the strongest. She's a little bitty woman. And I don't think she's most intelligent. But you know what? People that are, all those things don't intimidate her. And she would admit, you know, I'm not the prettiest. I'm not the most beautiful. I'm not the most intelligent. I'm not the strongest. I really am not the most personable. But you know what? That doesn't matter. I know who I am. I am the queen. I am royalty. Right? And I want you to know, listen, there's greatness, there's royalty in you. I want to end with this verse. We sang it, or sang about it a little bit earlier, Romans chapter 8, verse 30. And those he predestinated. Now see, do you realize you're predestinated? That God formed you from the foundations of the world. He puts your greatness in you. Who he predestinated, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also what? He made all things glorious. And if you're his, what does that make you? Listen, there's a glory in you. There's a greatness in you. What shall we then say in response to this? If God is for us, what in the world? What Pharaoh can stop us? Who can be against us? You're glorious. God has made you glorious. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. You felt abandoned. People maybe did abandon you, but God never did. What you've got to learn how to do is tap into your valor. You're a person of valor. You're a person of greatness. Yes. You were abused. You were. That happened, and that's sad. That is horrible. That is sad. But don't allow that to become an excuse for you not to experience the great life God has for you. Moses was abused. Moses was abandoned. But once he found out who he was, once he stepped out, once he heard God say, go, go in the strength you have. Fake it till you make it. Faith it till you make it. Then I'll be with you. Nothing can stop you, Moses. I've made you like God to Pharaoh. Your strength doesn't come from out there in muscle mass. Your strength comes from within here. It's within here that will change your life. And never forget, God will never give you the opportunity to go higher unless he's already given you the ability to go higher. I end with this thought. To what has the Lord made you God over? In that, you will be great. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time. Thank you for your amazing word. Father, this was fun to preach. Thank you. Father, I pray that now we understand better who we are and what we are and what you've made us. And the Father, there is something we're great at. And that which we're great at, Lord God, that which we're great at will take us to a higher and a greater and a better life. We ask you to bless us in Jesus' name.